Have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 will be our text. Two verses in particular. You might need to put on your safety belts and your crash helmets. In the words of the great theologian Jerry Reed, we've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Just dated myself on that one. Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount, verses 14 and 15. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Is that hard to understand? I don't really think it's a matter of interpretation, understanding it. That's not the hard part. I get it. I know exactly what it says. The difficult part is the application. That's where it gets hairy. If you look at the model prayer, Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, the verses that precede, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Forgive us our debts or our sins or our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin or trespass against us, our debtors." So notice how our willingness to forgive others corresponds to God's willingness to forgive us. It's not a matter of interpretation. It's a matter of application. For most of us, there's probably at least one person who has hurt us, who has maimed us emotionally, maybe even physically. We have a hard time letting go. So this morning, I want us to talk about the difficulty of forgiveness. It's a hard one. The difficulty of forgiveness. And we're going to start in an odd place. We're going to start in 2 Corinthians 9. And as you're turning there, let's think about some of the things that might keep us from forgiving others as we should. Now here's what I think I ought to say up front. I understand that relationships are messy and they're hard. And based on what's going to be said this morning, Lord willing, it may unpack a host of questions you may have that what we discuss may not answer exactly. In other words, what about protecting myself? What, you know, a lot of things come up when we start talking about forgiving other people. Here's what I know. I know God wants us to have hearts of forgiveness, full of forgiveness. And I know if that's what we want and if that's what we pursue, He can help us in that regard. So all we're doing this morning basically is sort of setting forth the fundamental ideas so that we can then begin to work on becoming more and more the people God wants us to be. Believing that, understanding these ideas, that'll help us. It'll go a long way in allowing us to become more forgiving when maybe we don't want to. We honestly don't want to. And that may sound startling, but God already knows that, right? Here's one of the things that may hurt us in the area of forgiveness, makes forgiveness difficult. It's because we're not as grateful as we ought to be for our own forgiveness. Here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you've sinned. There's no one who does not sin. Solomon recognized that a long time ago in 1 Kings 8 and verse 46. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's a passage we know. We know that. We know God is holy and we are not. We have defied His holiness. We have shaken our fist in His face through our disobedience. Therefore, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. What do I deserve from God? Oh, His abundant pardon, the amazing grace we talked about and sang about a moment ago. No. I deserve to be cut off from God. Destroyed. Now, we might not quite be able to pick up on that if we haven't really thought about God's holiness, but He is so holy that He cannot fellowship sin. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, 1 John 1:5. I know what I deserve, but I also know what God has extended by His grace. And the greatness of the gift, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The greatness of the gift that I have received, if I think about it and appreciate it, I have to agree with what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. Now, what he is talking about in 2 Corinthians 9, he's encouraging brethren to give financially as they said they would. Well, what might spur us on to greater giving? Thinking about what God gave. What does Paul say as he closes that discussion, trying to urge those Corinthian brethren to give? He says, but thanks be to God, depends on your translation, for His indescribable, New King James Version, or His unspeakable gift. What does that mean? God's gift of grace, the giving of His only begotten Son, that I might be forgiven, is so wonderful and so amazing and so magnificent. Paul said there's not even words to describe it. The man or woman who reflects upon and meditates on the cost, the price of his or her forgiveness regularly, who thinks back to Calvary regularly, who stands amazed that God could forgive him or her, that person is going to be a lot more prone to forgive those who have sinned against them. How can I possibly not extend forgiveness to somebody else who's made in God's image when He has been so forgiving to me? Maybe the reason I'm not willing to forgive is I don't appreciate what God has done for me as much as I should. Or maybe I just haven't thought about it as much as I ought to. Or maybe I haven't been reflecting on it as much as I should. Here's something that will stand between you and what God wants you to do. Being more forgiving is an ungrateful heart. How thankful we ought to be that God said, I'll forgive you. You deserve death, but I'll forgive you. It's going to cost my Son, but I'll forgive you. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. That's one thing. Turn to Romans chapter 12. What makes forgiving so difficult? Well, sometimes we're our own worst enemies. We don't reflect enough on the forgiveness God's extended. How can I possibly not want to give what He's given me? At other times, the matter of vengeance rears its head. The matter of vengeance, a desire for it. What does Paul say? Beloved, brethren, do not avenge yourselves. This is Romans 12, 18. But do not give place to wrath. And then he says, for it is written. What does God say? Old Testament principle. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. You say, where are you going with this? How does this have anything to do with one's willingness to forgive? Here's what we do sometimes. Someone hurts us. You know, we've been created in the image of God. The Bible teaches that God is just and righteous. Psalm 7 and verse 11. We too have a sense of justice and righteousness that's somewhat hardwired into us. Even an atheist, when he's treated wrong or cheated, what will he say? That's not fair. He doesn't believe in God. Well, why does he think things ought to be fair? I'm going to suppose, and I think I can make a pretty good case, God has created us in a way where we have these fundamental concepts that have to be certainly educated, but they're there. Somebody hurts us. What do we think needs to happen? Justice needs to happen. That person who's hurt me needs to pay for what he or she has done. It's right and proper for him or for her to receive some sort of comeuppance. And I'm here to make sure they get it. I don't get mad, James McCoy. Thank you. Somebody needs to dispense some vengeance on the one. And here's how we often think we can give it. I'll just withhold forgiveness. I'll go the rest of my life hating that person for what he or she has done. I'll never have a good thought about that person. In our minds, in some way, we think we are punishing the person who's hurt us, when in fact, the person who's really being hurt is me. Because it's only making me hateful and bitter and resentful and the opposite of all that God calls me to be. Here's the thing. If somebody's hurt you, the one who will dispense justice properly at the appropriate time, if necessary, is God Himself, will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Here's the thing, though. God doesn't want to have to mete out justice to any of us. Because if He does, what do we all deserve? We've already said it. What do we all deserve from Him? If God gives us strictly what we deserve, what should we get? Death. I don't know about you. In that sense, I don't want justice. Don't want it. Give me grace. That's what I want. How does God feel about all men? He wants all men to be saved. What's another way to put that? God wants to forgive all men. So if I'm going to imitate Him, and the Bible says be imitators of God as dear children, I'm going to have to what? Have a desire to forgive all men. Not a desire for vengeance, but a desire to forgive. And sometimes that twisted sort of a perverse pleasure that comes from withholding forgiveness, we'd rather hang on to that than do what's right. Don't let that desire to hurt somebody else keep you from enjoying and being blessed by the possession of a forgiving heart. You say, well, you don't know what somebody's done to me. I don't. But I know what God wants, and I know that God will help us. We might not get where He wants us to be today or tomorrow, but if we begin moving in that direction, I believe you work out, God will work in. But do you want it? That's a question. Another problem is assumptions makes forgiving difficult. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Assumptions. You say, what do you mean? I'll give you an example. Ran into somebody not too long ago. I'd been friends of hers and her husband for a long time. They'd gone through a really difficult time. And I had called a couple of times to check on them. But I had not gone down to visit them. I finally saw her after a long time. And I quickly realized she was angry. Very angry with me. I questioned her about what was happening. She told me, I said, look, I am really, really sorry. I would never hurt you for anything in the world. It didn't work very well. She didn't seem to really want to extend the forgiveness that I was asking for. Now, there's a lot of things in the background. I don't even really fault her in a lot of ways. I get it. But here's the thing. She interpreted my not going down there as some sort of motive that I didn't care for her or for her husband. But that's not even true. So she assumed that I had these bad intentions or a lack of character. She has no idea how many times I may very well have prayed for both of them. And I only bring that up because it's recent. But she assumed the worst. I've done the same thing, haven't you? There may be somebody that you're angry at to this day. You are just really angry, and they have no idea that they've even hurt you. But when it happened in your mind, you believe that they knew what they were doing. That's not a good thing at all. The Bible says regarding love, love bears all things. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Mark it. Love believes all things. What does that mean? Love believes the best in others until the evidence shows otherwise. You give people the benefit of the doubt. But sometimes we find ourselves with an unforgiving heart because we've made these assumptions about why somebody did what they did that hurt us. And we may very well be absolutely wrong. Notice Matthew chapter 7. Interesting statement here. Why is this so dangerous? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, most famous verse of scripture in this day and time. Judge not that you be not judged. Now you need to understand, Jesus has just talked about the hypocritical acts of the Pharisees before he gets to this point. What was one of the Pharisees' problems, the religious leaders of Jesus' day? They set standards for men, looked down upon them when they didn't meet them, and then they themselves didn't fit or meet those same standards. They were hypocrites. So when he's talking about improper judgment here, he's talking about hypocritical, censorious judgment. In other words, demanding in others what you really don't even demand in yourself. It's funny how we do this. We make assumptions about other people. Well, he did that because he had bad motives. He did that because he just doesn't like me. But when we do something, we make all kinds of excuses for ourselves, don't we? Or even if it's not an excuse, we look over what we've done and we say, well, this is the reason why I didn't do this for this reason. But when other people do the same, they hurt us, we oftentimes don't think, well, maybe they didn't mean to. Maybe they were having a bad day. Maybe there are circumstances we don't know about. Maybe they've come so far from where they used to be to where they are now, character-wise, ought to give them some credit for how far they've come. Notice what he says about judging people improperly. This is, again, why it's so dangerous. He says, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Before you start assuming things in other people, understand that if you're harsh in your judgment, that's the same judgment you'll receive. Therefore, I know when I stand before God in judgment, you know what I want? I want all the grace I can get. When it comes to my relationships with you, you know what I want from you? All the grace that I can get. And what does verse 12 say of Matthew 7? Here's the problem. We don't practice the golden rule. It's in the same context. I want people to believe the best in me. What do I need then to practice? I will choose until I'm convinced otherwise to believe the best in other people. Whatever you would have men do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Don't make assumptions. In fact, the Bible says, rather than make assumptions, go to the person who's hurt you. Matthew 5, 22 and 23. Same sermon. Matthew 18, verse 15. There's things to do. Don't make assumptions and then harbor a grudge about something that very well may not be what you think it is. You judge people harshly, expect eventually to receive the same judgment. What stands in the way? Why is it that we don't want to forgive people? Why is it so hard? Well, certainly, an ungrateful heart is problematic. When we, for whatever reason, think we can mete out vengeance to other people, and therefore we withhold, that can certainly be a problem, and it's not wise. We make assumptions about other people, that certainly gets in the way, puts us on the wrong path. But then there's just simply the idea of fear. We don't want to forgive some people. Because we're afraid if we forgive them, what are we afraid they might very well do again? They'll hurt me again. I'm not going to put myself in a position for somebody who's hurt me to do it more than once. I get that. And also understand that there may be some circumstances that are so entrenched as far as the depth of emotion. I feel for you. But again, we have to start thinking at least, how can I move past that for God's sake, for my sake, and for the sake of the person who's hurt me? Think about Jesus for a moment. When I say Judas Iscariot, what do you think about? What did Judas do? 30 pieces of silver. He betrayed his dearest friend. Matthew 26, verses 14 and 15. Think about all of his disciples. What did they all do on the night of his betrayal? They did exactly what he said they would do. They all forsook him and fled. When the shepherd was smitten, the sheep were scattered, Mark 14:50. Think about Peter, who was in the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. What did he do on that night? Exactly what Jesus said. He denied him three times, went out and wept bitterly, Luke 22, verses 54 through 63. And after all was said and done, and Jesus arose from the grave, he never talked to those disciples again. He said, I'll never put myself in a position for you goofballs to do what you did before. No. Peter denied him three times. What did he do for Peter? Three times in John 21, verses 15 to 19. He allowed Peter to once again affirm his love three times. Did Jesus allow himself to be vulnerable? Sure he did. If we choose to forgive, are we setting ourselves up to be hurt? Maybe. Look at Luke 17. We're just about done. It's a hard thing. Let's say, for instance, somebody does something to you and hurts you. Really hurts you. They come to you some time later and they say, look, I'm really sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm so sorry I hurt you. What's your duty as a Christian to do? You forgive them. Let's say a year or two passes by, they hurt you again. Maybe in a similar way, and they come to you and they say, look, I'm so sorry, I'm so weak, and I just don't always behave myself like I should, and I've hurt you again, and I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. What's our Christian duty to do? We forgive them. Well, what if a few years pass and they come to you again and they've hurt you again and they say, please forgive me? At that point in time, you'll probably say, look, pal, I believe we've had this discussion before. You hurt me not once, not twice, but now you've hurt me three times and you want me to forgive you? Luke chapter 17. Interesting statement. Interesting discussion, or at least it is to me. I hope it is to you. Notice verse 1. It says, then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now, in some of the other accounts, Peter comes to Jesus and says, Lord, if my brother sins against me up to three times, shall I forgive him? That was considered quite gracious. And Jesus says, no, 70 times seven. He doesn't mean on the 491st time you say, that's it. He's saying that his followers are to have hearts that are so full of forgiveness that you can't exhaust it. How hard is that? It's so hard, in fact, what do they say to Jesus in verse 5? Lord, increase our faith. How can we possibly have hearts that are that forgiving? With God, nothing shall be impossible. That doesn't mean if you decide you want that kind of heart today, you'll get it today. But you can pursue it today. Here's one last thought from this very chapter. You know what makes forgiveness difficult? Yea, impossible for you to forgive somebody else? If the person doesn't want your forgiveness. It is possible to have a forgiving heart towards anybody at any time, always. But you can't forgive somebody who doesn't want it. Does that make sense? What does he say here in Luke 17, verse 3? Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. What does that mean? He wants the forgiveness. He wants the relationship to be whole. But what if he doesn't repent? What if he doesn't care? Has anybody ever hurt you? You approach him and they don't care. You can have a heart of forgiveness. You can continue to pursue reconciliation, but forgiveness doesn't become whole until you give it and somebody receives it. So how do you know that, Bill? Remember when Jesus was on the cross? Luke 23:34, what did he say about those who mocked him? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let me ask you, were those enemies of Jesus forgiven simply because he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they did? No. Did everybody he prayed for find forgiveness? No. Who did? Go forward a few weeks to Pentecost, and the gospel was preached, and many of the same Jews that crucified Jesus were present. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? What did Peter say? You're already forgiven. The Lord forgave you back on the cross. No, his heart was open. Forgiveness was extended. But when did it become a reality? When those same folks repented of their sins and were baptized into Jesus Christ. If we say we can forgive somebody who doesn't want it, we're saying we're better than God. Because he can only truly forgive someone who's willing to receive it. And I understand the language we use. Somebody hurts us and we say, I've already forgiven them. That's what Jesus meant. But we can't really say that forgiveness is whole until the other person says, I receive. But my heart's always open. I always want to forgive. Preacher, you don't understand what I've gone through. I don't know what you've gone through. But I know the Lord will help you if that's what you want. And God's forgiveness is open this morning for anybody through obedience to the gospel. But here's the thing. You have to want it. And if you want it, God will give it. And you show your desire for it by being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Repenting of those sins. If we can help you with that, won't you come as we stand and sing?